I don't mind other guys dancing with my girl. That's fine. I know them all pretty well. But I'm
the School of Rock, located on Reading Road in Mason, is founded on the principle that the best way to learn music is to play music. With a curriculum geared more towards Smoke on the Water than Moonlight Sonata, the faculty of the School of Rock is associated with several notable Cincinnati bands, such as the Rusty Griswolds, Wussy, Fairmount Girls, and the Afghan Whigs. They take students of all ages, from the lesson room to the stage, by developing their confidence and musicianship with programs designed for all skill levels. The instruction combines weekly private music lessons with a group of band rehearsals in order to prepare the students to take the stage in front of a live audience. And speaking with me today at the School of Rock are Tim Gary, owner and general manager, and Chris Barlow, bass instructor and show director from the School of Rock. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Oh, thanks for having us. No problem.
So the School of Rock has locations all over the country and even internationally in places like Brazil, Canada, Mexico, and the Philippines. So how did the School of Rock end up here in Mason, Ohio?
Well, I actually was raised here in Cincinnati and went off to the East Coast for college and stayed there. And my two sons went to the School of Rock in Princeton, New Jersey. And I was looking to do something else career-wise, and thought School of Rock was a tremendous program. Took a look at the map and realized the closest School of Rock to Cincinnati was up in Cleveland. There were two up in Cleveland. And Cincinnati is just a wonderful music town that really deserved one. So I came out here to set it up. And Mason was a great place to start, just given the demographics here with lots of kids to find and be interested in the program.
Chris, if you could, explain to me the philosophy behind the curriculum at the school.
Oh, it's great here. Like you said, it's not like we're teaching Moonlight Sonata in here. We have formal lessons, but the real knack of the program is taking these kids and putting them in working ensembles. It's applied practice. It's a great way to learn. It beats the hell out of, you know, locking yourself in a room and aimlessly practicing till no end. I find that if you take musicians or the kids in general, and you put them in a working situation together, they're going to learn quicker. They're going to be quick to adapt to more real life situations that they might be presented or might have presented to them in a professional setting.
So if I were to walk in the front door with my daughter and say, "This is my daughter. She wants to be the next Chrissy Hynde and the next Joan Jett." What's the first step?
So it really depends on when we have students coming in here on where they are. So if they're complete beginners, haven't really touched an instrument before, we usually suggest that they start with some private lessons just to get comfortable on their instrument. But within a month or so, we would like them to get into Rock 101. You know, the real difference for our school is that it's not just private lesson based. We do the performance basis as well. And so in Rock 101, kids are coming in for a 90-minute group rehearsal where they're working on real songs. And so in addition to learning their instrument skill, which is what the private lesson is for, they start learning band skills as well, which are completely different. And, you know, kids who just play along to a record or just in the room are really missing out if they aren't playing with others. And we want to get kids playing with others as quickly as possible. What we find is they become much more engaged. They learn faster. And the whole idea there is to get them into our regular performance program where they're actually putting on shows every 4 months. So someone Rock 101, if they've come in and they've already had some lessons and really what they're trying to learn are some band skills, they may only be in Rock 101 for a month. Others might be in Rock 101 for 6 months. We've had lots of graduates already from Rock 101 into our regular performance program, and they're doing really well there.
Speaking of performance, what is the Sonic Boom Room?
The Sonic Boom Room is our on-site performance hall. It's I forget how many School of Rocks in the country actually have.
Not many,
but we're one of them. It's pretty much a giant room with professional gear, professional sound system. We have it all set up for them here. Sometimes we'll have them rehearse back there, but it's pretty much meant for performance of our performance shows. If the 101ers come in and they open up a show, they get to play there too. I think the house band rehearses back there from time to time too. It's just pretty much a big room for them to play that's set up like a professional hall.
When you're talking about getting your students prepared for band performance, working as a band, what goes into that in terms of just like relating to each other as humans and as people, or is it more just relating to them musically?
Well, in terms of band skills, you know, they're really, for rock, what I would consider three definite skill sets. You know, one is the musicianship. And there, that's how do you play with others? How do you keep time together? How do you blend with others? You know, how do you listen so that you can respond correctly to others in the band? So that's one element, and that's sort of the traditional ensemble elements. The second is what I call the logistics element. With rock music, there's all kinds of electronic equipment up there on stage, and it's actually how do you use that all, and how do you actually use it all as a band? You know, one of the things we try to teach guitars, for example, if your guitar is not being heard because the other guitarist is too loud, you don't turn your amp up, mm-hmm. you know, the other amp gets turned down. Mm-hmm. It's things like that, that you know, where we have someone like Chris who's been performing for years, all of our instructors have been performing for years, and particularly the show directors, they're able to pass on that kind of performance experience to make sure the kids are doing this correctly. Mm-hmm. And then the third element is the showmanship element. And that's, you know, oftentimes you find kids when they first get up on stage, they're very worried about playing their music correctly, and they're very wooden up on stage. And so it's trying to get them over time to actually look good. Sometimes that involves, you know, the right dress, dressing correctly, sometimes in the stage movement, thinking of stage movement as a group. So, for example, in the Get Your Groove On show, for a number of the numbers that we're doing, Chris is working on movement and sort of dance moves so that the group as a whole is going to look interesting. So all of those elements, and those are just not things that you learn in a private lesson room.
Do you ever teach what I like to call the dark side of being in a band, which is all the stuff that takes place when you're not actually actively playing your instrument? And by that, I mean loading in, loading out, taking care of your gear, and then also the marketing side, the ugly business side of being in a band. Do you handle that
absolutely,
as well?
Absolutely. It's a full package here. You know, music, teaching the kids music is only a fraction or a percentage of what we're really trying to, you know, pull across here. Like you mentioned, dealing with the dark side of things off the stage, you know, how do you market yourself as a musician? What happens when you network? You know, how to network, you know, how to use social media, you know, how to cater to your crowd. You know, so much of it is more than just, you know, going up there and, you know, knowing a tune. You know, like Tim touched on, you know, it's movement, it's having a persona, it's having attitude, it's having confidence. We want kids to, like, break out of being timid and actually own the show as opposed to, you know, just, you know, coming across as, you know, a 10-year-old, you know, strumming through a blues or, you know, a Who song or something. There's a vast aspect to all of it. And I feel personally, I can speak personally for myself, probably for Joe and Missy too, that we've gone to the end to tell these kids about the realities of what they're getting into. You know, I don't want to lie to them, but, you know, it's offering them skill sets, and it's, you know, skill sets involving how to manage themselves as well as how to, you know, perform these songs.
And that brings me to my next question for you, which is tell me about your faculty and who they are and where they come from.
Sure. Well, the because we're so performance-based, we really do look for working, gigging musicians. And so when I first started the faculty, you know, while I was from Cincinnati, I hadn't lived here for probably 25 years. And so when I came back, I spent a lot of time going out and just listening and seeing who I thought were good musicians. And that's actually how I met Chris how I met Joe and then and a couple of the others. And then through them, they started tapping into their networks. So, you know, we have Michael Horrigan, great drum instructor, really great drum instructor, played for the Afghan Whigs for 3 years, has toured all over the U.S., all over Europe, has played in front of as many as 45,000 people. So he can bring that to what we do here. We've got Joe Klug, the drummer for Wussy. You know, one rock critic in New York calls them the best band in America, just nobody knows who they are. So he brings that kind of experience. And, you know, in a different kind of experience, we've got Richie Tearbush, who's the lead guitarist for the Rusty Griswolds, you know, that cover band experience. He's, you know, Richie's actually from California, and had all kinds of experience out there as well. So we look for people with that kind of experience to pass on the performance element to the kids. And, you know, they can teach the instruments, and you can find other musicians who can teach the instruments, but to have that kind of working experience that they can pass on is tremendous, and that's what we look for in terms of our faculty.
There's a tremendous amount of street cred in this room.
There is. There is. And that's, you know, I think the kids appreciate that. You know, I think as they get further along, they really do. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing, you know, the street cred and what people here have done. So, and I've just, I've been blessed because I'm not a musician, but I've been very lucky to have put together a tremendous staff who really do care about the kids, who can teach well and have all this experience to pass on.
Now, Chris, we had talked about when students come in, you'd like to have them to have a little bit of experience before they really jump into Rock 101, but there's also the Little Wing program. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, Ms. Hannah Bartek directs the Little Wing program. It's pretty much, what's specifically the age range on that, Tim?
Roughly 4 to 5.
It's pretty much absolute beginning. We have a kit here full of like a 3/4-sized guitars, small instruments, percussion, really, really basic stuff to just even like iron out basic rhythms and basic things for really, really young kids.
And it's more music appreciation. It's not specific instruction on an instrument. And unlike, you know, there are other programs available for kids of that age, you know, what distinguishes ours is, you know, first of all, it is rock music based. So we'll use, you know, Drive My Car by the Beatles or Octopus Garden by the Beatles. Give Me Some Loving, Get Off My Cloud. A whole lot of classic songs that the kids love, you know, particularly in the context that we use them. Parents love it because this is the music they, you know, they grew up on. And then it's very well thought out. We actually had a PhD from, as it turns out, from CCM, who designed the program. And so it's a really good introduction. It introduces, you know, kids along the lines of rhythms, of pitches, of ear training. They'll get to see instruments and be introduced to instruments. But it's more trying to just start to instill a real love of music and understanding of some of the basic elements of music.
Now, Chris, as show director here at School of Rock, tell me about some of the shows you have coming up.
Oh, man. Right now, what's next on the horizon? We have our Who show this weekend. Joe Klug and Missy Fairmount are directing that one. They're great directors. The kids are loving it. Hell, we even went to see The Who, me, Tim, and his son Jamie, who's an instructor here, back in February. That was great. After this week, we have the Get Your Groove On show. Me and Michael, we have our hands in that. That's going to be fun. It's pretty much funk, soul, and R&B. Kids are doing great with that. They're super excited. I'm super nervous about it. Let's see, what else? We just had our first year anniversary show. That went over great. That was at the Redmore. We have two or three more shows coming up for our summer season. I'm still unclear of what those are, if I'm even allowed to talk about those right now. We have that. We have our summer camps coming up. I got my hand in the British Invasion. We have a hard rock camp. I believe we're going to have a recording camp as well. I think that's in the media horizon.
The great thing about the School of Rock is that it actually becomes a musical community. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of elements, non-musical elements, which are really great for the kids here. I mean, as you can see from having taken a tour of the place, this is much more like a clubhouse than it is like a schoolhouse. And it's designed to be that way. We want the kids to feel very comfortable here and to feel that this is their place. It's wonderful. We have kids from 6 different school districts, probably from 20 different schools, coming from as far away as Dayton.
Yeah, Dayton's our big pool.
And they have a passion for playing music. And sometimes it's very hard to find others with that passion. But when they come here, they can meet people that they would normally never meet, but who do have that passion, and they can share it. So, and they can share it in 2 ways. First, they share it through the shows that we do here. But we actually do have bands that are starting to form, that the kids are forming.
Yeah, they're our little musical communities.
They're little music communities, which is really great. So from a non-musical perspective, you know, it's a tremendous confidence builder. I can't tell you how many parents come up and say, I can't believe that's my child on here on stage.
I'm like, stew.
And, you know, tremendous leadership. It's, you can ask Chris about, you know, kids just stepping up in the rehearsal room and acting as leaders, which is great because when they start forming their own bands, they know, you know, how to act as leaders in the bands. Mm-hmm. So it's been really, and for some kids, you know, some kids have been outsiders wherever they've been. And here they become insiders, because as long as you have a passion for music, and you start playing well, you know, you're accepted. And I've been very pleased to see, you know, we foster this, but seeing the kids just be a very open, inclusive community in that way. So that's great. And then the other thing I would talk about is, you know, we do a lot of extra performances. So we do have a house band, which is made up of our best kids. They'll be performing several times over the summer. We're playing at the St. Rita's Festival. We've been invited to be part of the PNC Summer Music Series. So we'll play on Fountain Square in August. And then we can announce this now because it's official, but we've been invited to go to Summerfest, which is the largest music festival in the world up in Milwaukee. So we're sending a band to play up there, and they'll be competing against other School of Rock bands. It's sort of a giant battle of bands up in Milwaukee at the end of June. So
we're pretty excited.
Very excited.
That sounds tremendous.
And we have our Travis and Nick for the All Stars.
That's true. So we do have it was our first chance to audition kids. So we had 5 kids audition, and 2 have been chosen to be part of the national All Star team. So we'll be finding out shortly where they'll be touring, but they're going out on tour this summer for several days. They'll go to multi-cities and either end up at the Gathering of the Vibes concert and festival in Bridgeport, or at Lollapalooza in Chicago. So it's a great opportunity for them.
That's no small accomplishment. No.
Yeah, and just to clarify, being part of the All-Star program, the kids are actually joining other All-Stars within the School of Rock program and coming together and forming a band out of that, and then, you know, touring or playing off of that.
So there are about, I think in the program, about 150 All-Stars around the country who will be put into 6 different All-Star teams. So it's really exciting for Travis Hanna, who's an incredible drummer. He's a sophomore right now at Lakota West, I think so. And then Nick Hazelbaker, who's actually still in middle school. He's only 13, but he's an incredible keyboardist. So yeah, we're really proud of the two of them for having made the All-Star team.
I've been speaking with Tim Gary and Chris Barlow from the School of Rock in Mason, Ohio. For links to more information about the school and to purchase tickets to any of their upcoming performances, please visit us at wvxu.org/LX. For WVXU's local exposure, I'm Jim Nolan. Thank you, guys.
The kids are all right.